From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Fulfilling the Task, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, from his collection, Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 16 and verse 32. Ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Few had fellowship with the sorrows of Gethsemane. The majority of the disciples were not sufficiently advanced in grace to be admitted to behold the mysteries of the agony. Occupied with the Passover feast at their own houses, they represent the many who live upon the letter, but are mere babes as to the spirit of the gospel. To 12, nay, to 11 only, was the privilege given to enter Gethsemane and see this great sight. Out of the 11, 8 were left at a distance. They had fellowship, but not of that intimate sort to which men greatly beloved are admitted. Only 3 highly favored ones could approach the veil of our Lord's mysterious sorrow. Within that veil, even these must not intrude. A stone's cast distance must be left between. He must tread the winepress alone, and of the people there must be none with him. Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee represent the few eminent, experienced saints who may be written down as fathers. These, having done business on great waters, can in some degree measure the huge Atlantic waves of their Redeemer's passion. To some selected spirits it is given for the good of others, and to strengthen them for future special and tremendous conflict, to enter the inner circle and hear the pleadings of the suffering high priest. They have fellowship with him in his sufferings, and are made conformable unto his death. Yet even these cannot penetrate the secret places of the Savior's woe. Thine unknown sufferings is the remarkable expression of the Greek liturgy. There was an inner chamber in our Master's grief, shut out from human knowledge and fellowship. There Jesus is left alone. Here Jesus was more than ever an unspeakable gift. Is not Watts right when he sings, "And all the unknown joys he gives were bought with agonies unknown"?
I stood one day at Calvary where Jesus bled and died. I never knew he loved me so, for me was crucified.
Oh,
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Continuing these studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is focusing on verses 1 through 26 of chapter 14. During their first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas traveled to a number of cities in Asia Minor, in each of which they encountered particular problems. In Iconium, there was great division caused by unbelieving Jews who were angered by Gentiles receiving the gospel. In Lystra, there was great danger as those hostile to gospel stoned Paul nearly to death. After preaching in Derbe, the apostles showed great dedication as they returned to the scenes of their rejection to confirm the new converts in the faith. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue a message entitled,
fulfilling the task.
Now in verse 7, you will notice very carefully the constant occupation of the apostles. Verse 7 says, there they preached the gospel. Constantly at and on the job. That's their constant occupation. But look at verse 11 and then verse 19. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Then look at verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Two dangers. First, the danger of deification. And second, the danger of death. The first danger, the first opposition, was to come and exalt the messenger rather than the Lord. Notice the miracle that caused this. We haven't time to ponder the miracle of the healing of the impotent man. But when Paul, by the power of the Spirit of God, spoke to this impotent man and said, stand upright upon thy feet, and he leaped and walked. When that miracle was done in an instant of time, immediately the attention was focused on the instrument, on Paul, and then Barnabas. The subtle old serpent is still at that today. That's why an elder in the church, whether he be a ruling elder or a ministering elder, should not be a novice, lest he be puffed and lifted up with pride. The devil will come as soon as there's blessing. If he can't stop the blessing one way, he'll try to stop it another. As soon as there's blessing, he'll come along and he'll get at the messenger or the minister of God, and he'll try to focus such widespread attention and adulation upon the minister that the minister, the preacher, the evangelist will actually take the glory that belongs to the Lord. And of course, the Lord has said, my glory will I not give to another. I always detest these movements which are built upon the name of man. I detest a movement which replaces Jesus Christ with an evangelist or a miracle worker or something else like that. My friend, let's remember, the glory must be all the Lord's. It's His. There's no deifying of man. Notice the manner in which the apostles combated this. When they heard it, they rent their clothes. Paul was honestly grieved that somebody was giving him too much honor. Paul and Barnabas were hurt in their hearts that the glory that should have been given to the Savior was being given to them. I told you last Lord's Day that within a couple of weeks we would have a tape of the late Duncan Campbell, a Scottish Presbyterian preacher who for 3.5 years labored in the midst of the Isle of Lewis revival. Duncan Campbell said, and I think right at the beginning of this tape he says, that it hurts, well, he's gone now, it did hurt and grieve him sorely when he would visit churches to see their church notice in the press or to see a great notice on the notice board of the church. Come and hear the man who brought revival to Lewis. He says it's a lie. It's a lie. The Holy Ghost can bring revival in no one else. My friend, let's give the Lord the glory. This goes not only for the preacher but for the church. You can get to the place, and God's people so quickly get to this place where they are wrapped up in their own little church that they can see nothing beyond it. And it's the name of the church that's uppermost in their mind. And they're praying for blessing because it is for this church. Now there's a fine line here. If God calls you to a church, then you must have a particular burden for the work of that church. Let us always remember that it's for the glory of the Lord. It's for the glory of the Lord. I was challenged by what Moses prayed when the Lord said he was going to withdraw from Israel. And he said, just go on without me. Just go on without me. And you will prosper. I'll let you prosper. Moses, if I could paraphrase his prayer, Moses says, Lord, if we could have the whole of the promised land and not have your presence, I don't want to go. It's not just the blessing. It's the Lord himself. Except thy presence go up with us. Carry us not up hence. Oh, may the Lord have all the glory. So there was the danger of deification, and there was clearly then the danger of death. You'll see that in verse 19, they come to stone him. How fickle is man's applause. What fools people are who live for the plaudits of the world. For the world which pats you in the back today would as quickly bury you tomorrow. And that's exactly the danger facing the apostles here. But verse 20 gives us Paul's great deliverance. I think I can see those disciples standing around that bruised and broken body, bleeding from head to toe. You know, we read of this, that they stoned Paul. Can you just stop and get the picture in your mind? They stoned him until they left him for dead. There wasn't an inch in his body that wasn't bruised and battered and bleeding. Who knows what bones were crushed and broken? There's that little company of disciples standing around. Thank God they had the guts and the grace to still stand by the man that was being stoned. An awful lot of Christians wouldn't have been seen within 100 miles of his dead body. But they stood there, brokenhearted. They had lost the greatest preacher in the world. But what a joy when up he got. Up he got by the power of God, by the grace of God. What a deliverance. You know why? No matter what, you see, the devil is an Arminian. I'm not saying every Arminian is devilish. I don't mean that at all. But the devil's an Arminian. The devil knows the sovereignty of God, but he fights against it. And the devil says, I'm going to kill this fellow. But God said long time ago, he said, Paul, I have a program mapped out for you. And this is what you're going to do. And Paul hadn't completed the program. And not every devil in hell could have killed him. There was no way Paul could die here at Lystra. No way at all. It was totally impossible. Why? Because no matter what the devil fancied, God's program wasn't finished. Surely it's true. Every man is immortal until his life's work is done. The Savior taught that we're not to seek to save our lives. If any man seeks to save his life, he loses it. The only thing to do with your life is to lose it for Christ's sake. Lose it in the plan of God. Lose it in the purpose of God. Lose it in faithfulness to Christ. Let the world do what it will do. Lose it. And then you'll really save it. Oh, may God indeed teach us from this great deliverance what it is to lose out to the world and gain from the Lord. And then finally, we notice their great dedication. Verse 20 through to verse 28. We read verse 20 that the disciples stood about him and he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached. So what did he do? Stop preaching? Did he say I got stoned for preaching? No. Here's their courage. He preached the gospel still. And not only that, but I want you to notice this. He returned to Lystra. And he returned to Iconium. And he returned to Antioch in Pisidia. These very places where he had been opposed. The very people were there who had sought to murder him. What courage. My friend, when I read things like that, I feel that we today are a different kind of people altogether. I don't know about you, but when I read things like that, I feel it condemns my own heart. We're so easily put off. You know, if a man got stoned for preaching the gospel, we would not think it amiss if he just got off the stage, as it were, and said, well, I've done my part. But oh, for this great missionary spirit. It cares nothing for the comfort of the body. Cares nothing for the price that's to be paid. Simply says, Lord, no matter what it costs, I'm going through. Now, it's very easy to say that in the comfort of a church building. It's very easy to say that. You have your feather bed to lie on at night, or your Dunlopillo mattress to lie on, and all the comforts of home and all the food you need. We can all say it when things are going well. But I believe that God is looking. Whether he ever claims it actually from us in our experience or not is the Lord's choice, not ours. But I believe the Lord is looking for a people who will say, I care not for friends or home. I care not for comforts. I care not what the price may be. I want the will of God, and I'll do the will of God should I die in the effort. It's the courage of these men. Notice their concern, verse 22. I think a lot of modern-day evangelists would do well with a little of this concern. Confirming the souls of the disciples. Nowadays, everything is geared to get the big decision. That's that. Well, these men went back confirming the souls of the believers. In other words, after people get saved, there must be a teaching ministry. There must be that which will ground them in the Word of God, confirming their souls. And not only that, but exhorting them to continue in the faith. Exhorting them to go on with God. Stirring them up to go on with God. You know, that tells me something. It tells me that people can be saved and settle down. It tells me that the apostles saw the danger of people being saved and then just settling back and losing their first love and their first zeal and their first vision and their first fire for Christ. That danger has become a reality in so many of God's people today. And just have a look at yourself. Let me be, I didn't intend to say this, but I'll say it anyway. Let me be perfectly frank and pointed with you this morning. You've sat through just over 1 hour of the Sabbath service. You've sung the psalm, heard the choir, you've sung a hymn, read the scriptures, we've meditated in God's word. Tell me, has your heart once been stirred? Or are you sitting in God's house this morning, grimly enduring? You're here because that's where a Christian ought to be. But all the old fire has died out. The first love has gone. The real zeal for Christ is missing. If there's one thing that's not stamped upon your life as a Christian, it is reality. Well, my friend, let me tell you, that is the very danger that the apostle was concerned about, that Christians would settle down. God save us from it. God save us from it. Where we know everything and we feel nothing. My, that's a curse. That's a curse. I would rather far have a man that knew little, but felt what he knew, and loved what he knew, than have a man that knew it all and felt nothing. Oh, may God give us a heart to go on with him. Save us from settling back.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.